Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Dan, for the record, Dan was instructed to beatbox, and what he did sounded like a cartoon blooper reel.
Boo boo, wow! Fucking yummy!
You sound like how a cartoon toaster would scat sing. Our guest in the canoe, who is going to grace us with a freestyle rhyme, but then was derailed by Dan's inability to beatbox, is Zach Sherwin, a.k.a.
No, that was like little Jeezy.
That's not anybody.
No, that's me.
Little Jeezy.
Your rap name is just a remix of other rap names.
I invented the remix name.
Let's all do remix names. You're Little Jeezy. I'm Biggie Ice.
Biggie Ice Jeff.
And I'm Jay Dirty Bastard.
Oh. We saw Zach and I last week saw the Wu-Tang.
Sorry I didn't bring it on that remix name.
It's okay. It takes us a little while to get warmed up. Sure. We can't all just hit the ground running like Dan. This is the Two-Man Canoe with Josh and Dan.
And you guys were doing sets tonight. I just sat in the back of the room pondering how to fuck this thing up immediately.
Dan, is there a way you could make this worse right away? Zach and I were at the side of the Wu-Tang Clan perform last week.
Oh, we have about 1,000 things to say about it. I'm trying to decide
if it's... You were there too?
Yeah,
it was me and Kyle Plouffe.
I got Plouffe the ticket.
Josh, do you have like a smartphone record of the text we sent back and forth?
I absolutely do. Yes.
We were doing what seemed to me to be some very hilarious texting about what was happening at the show.
It was great.
I'm trying to decide if those experiences are universal enough to actually talk about on stage. Like, I went and saw the Wu-Tang Clan and 10 funny things happened. I don't know how much people are...
Whoops. Zach. It was great. Everything was so funny. First of all, you missed this part because you were en route from New York, but they started almost an hour late with an unannounced opener, so you made it for the whole show.
Right.
That was worth seeing. But they had an opening act named La the Dark Man, which probably worst rap name ever. And he kept saying this. He kept going.
I wonder if it's related to Lou the Dark Man.
That's racist. Just because they're both dark men. And he kept saying this before, like, 2 or 3 songs. He would go, this next joint, I'm going to take y'all back. Then I'm going to bring y'all back forward. Like, his raps are just Back to the Future.
The movie. Dark Man will kick you to the motherfucking dark continent.
So, here were some of the texts.
That might have been racist. Whatever.
So, Raekwon, who's a rapper that looks kind of like a chipmunk.
Yeah, he's got a big, like, potato-shaped body and like,
fat
little,
face,
tiny
like,
toothpick legs sticking out.
Like he had his wisdom teeth out. But he just raps about selling coke and doing crimes. And
Another crime.
And he had...
Selling coke and other
crimes. That's the name of his short story collection.
And other short stories.
Selling coke and other crimes and other short stories. By Raekwon, the chef. And he just had like a green sweatshirt on that just said Vermont in block capital letters. It was so great.
The least Wu-Tang state of all.
The least Wu-Tang state.
I was a public enemy in October.
Really?
Yeah. I would have been lost, though.
A lot of anger. So this is the weirdest thing. We didn't talk about this. Here's the weirdest thing about the concert. It was like very emblematic of Boston because it was oddly segregated because the floor seats were $20 more than the balcony seats. So the floor seats were all state general admission, all white, mm-hmm. and all the black people were in the balcony like a movie theater.
This
in the
sounds
50s.
Like a great show.
It was ridiculous. I like looked around. I was like, a lot of white people down here. And then I looked up, and everyone in the balcony was, like, black and, like, furious they were in the
Chris
balcony.
Tab opened, and he killed.
With the top of the room.
A lot of white motherfuckers.
That's when, when at the rooftop festival at Aspen, my set was insane. Like, I just, like, went off the rails. You were there. And I just was, like, being goofy. And the comics were really enjoying it, but the audience down below, like, not as much. And so I came off stage and someone was like, oh, we were all loving you. And I was like, great. I killed with the top of the room.
So the concert starts going and Method Man, whose name is derived from a synonym for marijuana that the Wu-Tang Clan used to use. Mm-hmm.
Really? Comes,
yeah, on the first album, they're, like, explaining why they all have their names, and then he's like, then it's like the Method Man, because there's mad different methods to the way I do my shit. And then another one's like, gotta smoke a bean in here, too. I think that's what he says. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bean. And then
I thought it was about the scientific method.
That's my... You were joking, Dan, about that.
Oh.
Somehow I feel like you weren't fully focused on my Method Man rap name derivation explanation.
Oh, we forgot to explain. We interrupt people a lot. That's
right. Easy come, easy go.
Very upset.
So, we've had guests be like, are you going to let me finish this story? And then we're both just like, no.
It's the pod culture.
That's so, all we do.
Method Man comes out and he's like, "Hey, Joel, I got to make an announcement. Management just came out on stage and told us too many people smoking weed up in here. So if y'all want to keep riding with Wu-Tang, put your joints out." And it's like, what?
And everyone was like, boo.
Everyone, by the way, Cheech and Chong were there like a week before.
He goes, "If the fire alarms go off, then the fire department has the right to shut us down."
It's true. And then
2 minutes later, he was like
a hype man for the
Wu-Tang. No, he's like the pot glorificationiest member of Wu-Tang.
He was in the movie How High.
Minutes later, he's going, "I got fat bags of skunk."
Yeah. That's not How High.
With Method Man.
And Red Man.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Red Man was not there this night.
You know what? It wasn't very good.
No need to preface that with "you know what."
Looking back at it.
Looking back at it.
Did not stand the test of time.
It didn't stand the test of right then.
It didn't stand the test of the hour and a half that lasted.
The test of time was like, when is this going to be over?
They tried to be as clever as Cheech and Chong and they failed.
Yep. Big problem.
How do they do it, man? big thing of marijuana in a van, and made that funny.
They Method Man did that other great thing too. What did he say? You remember better than I did.
About Older Baby Astrid's son?
No, I remember that. But the other thing.
Were they roasting each other?
They brought Old Dirty Bastard's son and they called him the Young Dirty Bastard. And he came out on stage.
Some hilarious girl at Improv Boston, as I told you, called him Little Baby Jesus. Yep. Did I tell you that?
Yeah. We also came up with Pebbles McGirt.
is Diddy Dirty Money Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't like this new incarnation.
I don't either.
No.
Least favorite so far.
Mm. No. He used to be happy about his money.
I know. It was all about the Benjamins. Now he thinks they're dirty.
Now he thinks they're dirty.
Now he's a germaphobe.
Now they're
he just wears gloves when he
Diddy
touches
plastic them. Gloves.
Diddy Purell.
Diddy Purell, motherfucker.
But he also said this.
Diddy, do not give me change in a toll bill.
Just drop it in my pocket.
Just drop it in my pocket, bitch.
What did he say about, like, all y'all who showed me love?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He pointed to a section of the room and was like, "If y'all riding with Wu-Tang, make some noise." And then people cheered. And then he points to this. He goes, "To all y'all who cheered right there, we love y'all." And then he points to a section of the room and he goes, "And to all y'all who didn't cheer, fuck your life."
It was so great.
These guys are great entertainers. Oh,
they were so awesome. We had a lot of great texts. Here, this is like the second one Zach sent to me, which was like early on in the show. He just sent, "They're like friendly uncles."
They were, because
they're all older now.
Yeah, they're old and real friendly. Like, we'd finish a song and Method Man would clap for us and then point at us, and then they would give thumbs up.
Yeah, Method Man would give a real hard thumbs up, and he and the Jizza would just go to the front row and just like fucking high five the shit out of everybody. It was so funny.
I liked his role as Cheese on The Wire.
Who was? Method Man?
Method Man.
I didn't know.
Very good.
Mm. Yeah, he's done a lot of acting. Mm. He's Method acting.
Boom! Turning it up. Keep up,
first
everyone.
First pun.
First pun of the cast.
We had to stop at one of our podcasts because we were too pun heavy.
Which one was
the first one?
First one.
Oh. I was like, "Dan, what are you doing?" He was like, I pun when I'm nervous.
Shake the puns up.
Compulsive punning.
That
pun was waiting to be claimed.
Absolutely. I liked when you said Ghostface seems generally amenable to the proceedings.
He didn't even have a mic for the whole show.
He was just walking around like this.
Just nodding. Someone would hand him a mic. He'd lackadaisically do one of his verses. And then he'd pass it right off. Here, I made it.
At which point, I texted Zach, "Ghostface is the Dan Bulger of rap."
Ghostface just like the 2-minute marathon.
Josh had the text of the night.
Where is it?
Maybe should we save it for the end? No, too much build up.
It was, I would buy a Raekwon plush toy for a baby. Is that right? My other favorite one was, also, Inspector Deck looks a lot like JB Smoove.
Right. He did.
Oh, here's the thing that got me. Was that you laugh? You're like, you God didn't get to do his last verse in the song. They cut it off. I think.
How many people are on stage at a given time?
Like there eight were or nine.
Nine, I think. Well, the RZA wasn't there,
but Street Life was there.
Street Life was there. Capadonna was there. Master Killa was there. I think there were like mostly 10 people on stage.
Yeah.
Are they sharing and all about this money?
Six
evenly?
Mics.
We were discussing that
extensively on this. How much do you think the top paid guy took home? Did we ever figure it out?
We didn't. We were speculating like 10 grand.
Per person? I now think that's too high.
Really?
Yeah.
How much are your tickets?
Because think about it. I bet the Wilbur made like 100 grand on the show. Let's say like 50 of it goes to like expenses.
More than 100 grand.
I bet the insurance.
Yeah, yeah. Like because it was on.
Tickets were 40.
Tickets were 40 How to 50. Many does it yeah, tickets were 40.
Let's say 50 for.
50. And they see.
This is going to be fun to listen to.
They see like 1,000. It seems okay, 1, so 50,000, right?
Yeah, yeah, but you forget right. that Ghostface is a very strong negotiator.
That was his original rap name. Ghostface Killer Esquire.
They call me Jerry West because I always make a deal. Finish it. Somebody finish it.
They call me Henry Clay because I'm a great negotiator.
For real. Now it rhymed. It's a rap.
Okay, perfect. That's a rap. Rap.
Hey, second pun.
Second pun. Two puns.
I sold a rock and now that dough collect an interest. In some sort of mutual fund.
Mutual fund, you could slant rhyme that with gun.
Buster Rhymes does it. Floss my ones. Me and my son stacking my ones. Floss a little, invest up in a mutual fund.
That's dangerous. I have never understood anything Buster Rhymes ever said. When I was 12... Did I talk this on the podcast about my mom
throwing the Buster Rhymes CD out the window? Out the
window. Never got through track one on that one.
Which CD? Do you remember?
It was probably 97.
The Coming. It must have
been
The Coming.
I don't know.
It was The Going.
It was The Going. Oh, damn, you got on it.
That's the Auto Mile in Norwood with CD.
Whenever I teach preschool, whenever there's a kid that I can give a rap nickname to, I always do. Like, in my class, there's a kid named Mo that I always call Mo Money Mo Problems. Uh-huh. And there's another kid named Ruhan, who's Indian, who I call Ruhan Gachal in Czech, after the Busta Rhymes song.
My friend was in New York walking around Manhattan, and he stepped out, like, and a SUV, like, screeched to a halt in front of him. And he, like, gave them a what the fuck look, and a guy leaned out the window and was like, "What the fuck?" And he was like, "That's fucking Busta Rhymes." And he points at him, and Busta Rhymes goes, "Yeah, you recognize me? Now move!"
He's a fucking prick.
That's great. Oh, man.
Oh, have I seen you since then? That I saw Marquise Daniels?
You texted me, but we haven't talked about it.
Yeah.
Because I was... Was I at that game?
We'll have to show you the necklace that you wear.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull it up on my phone.
Okay.
But you tell the story.
Marquise Daniels is probably the fourth guy at the bench for the Boston Celtics. He's got awesome hair and an awesome medallion he made of himself.
Yeah.
And I saw him walking out of a P.F. Chang's 12:30 at night, and I asked him for a picture, and he said no.
Oh, here it is.
And his entourage made fun of me.
This is his necklace.
Quote, that's the one picture.
That's him.
$50,000.
That's his own face and hair.
I think we should get cheap knockoffs of them.
Should we get our own faces? Or Marquise Daniels' face?
I would actually turn into expensive again. But I think if he showed up and just like make this.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do it.
The crazy part is his medallion of his head is wearing a little mini Marquise Daniels medallion.
That's Marquise's wife behind him.
You know, you can pay FAO Schwartz like $100 to get a Muppet in your likeness. Maybe we should just wear Muppets around our neck.
Gondelman doesn't need one.
Oh, man. I've been called a Muppet. Did I tell you that story?
I think that might be why I said it.
It might have
told the story again.
After the Laughing Skull Festival this year, Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know Pat Dixon?
Yeah.
He's a really funny comic and who came in second in the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. And
distant.
By a mile. And
by 1 mile at a comedy contest.
he and Michael
he lost the foot race.
He and Michael Palisak, who are both better comedians than I am, came in tied for second, and they're both super great, and they're awesome dudes. And Pat the next day tweeted, 12 years in comedy, and I come in second to a Muppet.
I want to hear stories about L.A.
Oh,
I forgot that you went.
I didn't really do that much. I did just, like, art stuff, because my friend that I'm staying with is, like, really involved in, like, the arts community.
All right.
So
were you downtown a lot?
We were downtown a bunch. We were in, like, the jewelry district that's all, like, old movie theaters, so it's super, like, post-apocalyptic.
Really? It wasn't near the Cecil, was it? Cecil Hotel?
I don't know. Is that the place where you, like, wouldn't get let in?
Yeah.
Yeah. We went up to the Standard. She, like, showed me around there, like, that rooftop bar, downtown one.
Yeah.
We went to... It's not super... Nothing super interesting. I saw, like, a bunch of cool just, like, art... Oh, we went to the Mocha, and there was some, like, great art stuff. Like, my favorite one was, it was, like, a FedEx shipping box, like, a foot and a half cube, basically, and on top of it was a foot and a half glass cube that was all banged up, like, safety glass so that it won't shatter, like, it's just spider webs, and, I guess what the artist had done, like, it just, like, cracks like a windshield, like, it doesn't break apart into pieces. And so, and, this is really... There's no payoff to this story.
Okay. But I want to buy this from my Wii.
Perfect. So it was all...
this expensive case available.
It was all banged up. And I guess what the artist had done was put this glass cube into a box exactly the same size and just, like, mailed it places. And then it was all dinged up and, like, crashed. And the little art card said, like, oh, this is a piece about how things aren't just what they are now. They're about the journey they've been on. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like that. Mm. But then there were, like, big iron sculptures of a guy literally called Captain Dick Hat with a guy wearing a dick for a hat. It was like, okay, this is kind of like bullshit. That.
That's the one you want at the gift shop, is the Captain Dick Hat replica.
Captain Dick Hat.
That's the one I want at any shop.
In fact, Bulger, we just got your new rap name.
Captain Dick Hat.
Captain Captain Top Hat was the name of James.
Yeah. Shane put it in the joke.
Yeah, I have 4 years of work on it. Kind of gave up on it.
Guys, everybody listen to Shane Moss's joke about Captain Top Hat's his favorite fake restaurant.
There's a bar in New York called Professor Tom's. We were going to go to watch the opening day of the Red Sox. And he asked where it was. And I said... He asked for the name of the place because he was calling 401. And I said with complete confidence, Captain Top Hat.
Which is not anything real.
But if we ever get the money.
Captain Top Hat Steakhouse. That's what it is in the joke. Do you know the bit?
No.
It's like Shane's really funny, clearly. It's the joke about how he's going to start fingering his own butt.
Sure.
So that when his girlfriend puts her hand next to his butt, he won't flinch. And he's like, part of the scenery is that they're eating dinner together in a restaurant called Captain Top Hat's Steakhouse. Which is like, there I am, just thinking about how bad I am at naming fake restaurants. It's so funny.
And she tries to put her finger in my butthole.
Great Shane.
That's a great Shane.
Shane and I did a weekend with Shane in Madison recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the morning, he like let me crash in his hotel room. Two beds. And in the morning, we're hanging out. And he was like, napkins, morning wood is the best.
He put that on Twitter.
And I was like, oh yeah? And he's like, the first thing I think when I wake up is... yay, I can have sex. And then I was like, that's really funny, Shane. You should say that. And he goes, oh, God. He goes, I spend so much time reading about science, but I just say things like that. Shane. He's sad about how much butthole material he has.
Shane, one time, he was on the road for a while when he was still living in Boston, and he came back, and he had literally 5 to 10 minutes about dick pumps that he'd written on the road. And I was like, oh, I love these dick pumps jokes. And he was so psyched that I was on board with them that he sent me links to all his dick pump research and, like, insisted that I read them so we could talk about it later. Which we did several times. He was like, can you believe that, judge? Because there was a judge that was disbarred because he kept using a penis pump while he was presiding over cases. And when he got caught by the stenographer who noted a whooshing sound underneath his breath. He said he was doing it as a goof. That was his defense, like, psych, penis pump.
Why does whoosh keep appearing in the transcript?
He called me, like, 3 weeks ago. He was driving from Austin to Indy.
Yep.
I'm like,
that's a long drive.
Yeah, I was like, how far down was I in your car? Like, literally hour 11 of the drive.
Yeah. I'm in Chicago, 2 hours
away. I was too relaxed to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I had, like, worn my robe for the first time in 3 weeks.
I was like, wait a minute. Why were you so high stress the previous 3 weeks that you couldn't even wear a robe?
It's more of a mindset. If it's rainy out, I'll throw on the robe. In case I walk out, I have kind of a towel on.
Dan doesn't even go on vacation. He just puts on his robe and it's a robot. That's a Roomba with a robe.
This nakedness is too stressful. I'm trying to throw the robe on.
I don't want to sit on anything wet or sharp.
Captain Top Hat, freestyle rapping, drop that, throw another word out, see if Naps can top that.
Ooh, that's good.
That's how we should close every chapter of the podcast.
Right, now a new phase.
Narration begins.
Two man canoe paddled through 2 football fields of shit. It came out nonsensical on the other side.
It took him 15 podcasts Shit to break out a Freeman impression.
I never do it. That's all I ever say in it. And I just do it like for my girlfriend. Oh, have you guys seen True Grit?
Yes.
Oh, no. Man.
Love okay. it.
It's great. But Jeff Bridges sounds like if Christian Bale played Wild West Batman. Like, he doesn't... He's like nearly unintelligible for the entire movie. Where he's just like... maybe I know that man. It's ridiculous. Like, I'm not exaggerating. I'm like, there's a scene where he's being interrogated in the courtroom, and he's like, I'm back done 7-8 paces. He's like, which direction were you going, sir? And he's like, I reckon I always go backwards when I'm backing up. And he's just like, oh my god, yeah. Jeff Bridges. And it's great. I loved it.
Has it been commented on for the podcast listeners that Josh has a whiteboard that says, be awesome today on it?
I don't think we mentioned it. I had this whiteboard when I moved in.
Is that a thing that you...
It's almost as if you expected to write more on it, because you didn't write it very big.
I wrote it that size, and you can't tell from looking at it, it's in Sharpie.
You can't take it off, huh?
Nope, that's all I ever need to know. And then Sean Donovan came in drunk one night and wrote every day underneath it in blue highlighter.
So that's on there forever, too?
That can probably be washed
out. I hate Sharpies.
Really?
I love them.
Me too.
No, because when I used to go to bars and I'd be underage, they'd give me like a big Sharpie X and it'd be on there for a week.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Mm. And I couldn't get any other bars.
Big problems. I used to do an open mic at a bar when I was like 19 or 20. It must have been 20. And every year, the bartenders were super hot, and every week, the host of the open mic made me go up to the bartenders and remind them that they couldn't serve me because I was underage. It was very humiliating.
Was this Tom Dustin doing that to you?
No, it was Chris Earle. It was an open mic at Evos in Lowell.
And, I never went to that one.
It was a bar with cake, which I love about a bar.
That's a great idea for a bar.
Yeah, Ken Reed and I hashed it out one night. It would be called Cake Bar, and it would be in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
It's great. Yeah. It's a great name.
A cake bar would do well in Williamsburg.
Yeah. It'd be,
they have one in Astoria we used to do an open mic at.
A cake bar?
Well, it was a bar with pastry, but cake was among it.
I like that.
Cake is often seen with bar. Like crack and poverty.
I like date bars. That kind of baked good, if you mm-hmm. had that. Sort of like a, more like a buttery or fig Newton kind of.
Yeah, I know that bar. You have a
I thought you meant like a date bar, like a bar you go on a date.
Oh.
Like a Cap and Top Hat or something.
Sure, Cap and Top Hat. That would be a good name for a date bar that served date bars, and that was their hook. It would be a good double thing. Like, there used to be a bar in Boston called Barcode.
Wait, was there a hook?
It just had a barcode logo. No, there wasn't a hook.
I hate this bar.
What about Space Bar? Is there a bar called that? That would be a cool theme.
For nerds?
That's the bar inside Space Mountain. People throw up on the ride a lot. A couple shots and then ride Space Mountain.
Roller coasters need Jaeger.
You're Jaeger on roller coasters.
Once I went to Cedar Point, an amusement park in Ohio,
yeah,
with my girlfriend, and There were no lines because it was late in the day and kind of rainy. And we rode a roller coaster so many times in a row that she barfed.
Is that near Tiffin, Ohio?
Tiffin? Like, could be. It's in Sandusky, I think.
I don't know.
Did you do a college in Tiffin?
I did. It was the No Buddies of Comedy show. And it was some town that had 2 water parks in it, but like 5,000 people.
Probably.
There's way too many water parks per capita.
The most water parks per capita of any American city. Well, how many? 1/250,000, 2/2500th of a water park per person.
A Tiffin is also a...
Every person is guaranteed 40 acres, a mule, and a water
park. And a water slide.
Bring your mule.
I was out to dinner with,
this is the part where we do quick story.
I was out to dinner with my girlfriend and a bunch of, like, her childhood friends, and she's like, my friend Melissa is really gonna, like, grill you, like, the first time she meets you. She's really gonna interrogate you. So the first thing she says, like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Okay, tell me about yourself. Tell me all about yourself, she said. And so I was like, well, ask me some more pointed questions, because otherwise all I'm just gonna say is I was born a poor black child. Yeah. So I just said the beginning of the joke, and that seemed to satisfy her. And then I was like, okay, your turn. What's your biggest fear? And she was like, oh, I'm very claustrophobic and I hate water slides. And I was like, just the tube water slides or the other ones? And she was like, just the tube ones. And I was like, good, because water slides are a lot of fun. I wouldn't want you to miss out.
You should have left.
Then I just
never,
like,
work out.
Peace. Sorry, honey. Them's the breaks.
Are there segments? Or are we just jamming all the way through?
Oh, we just, we don't edit. So that's like, don't say anything that you're going to want taken out, because we don't know how to do that.
Okay, great.
So don't talk trash about anyone.
I don't know how to edit.
Don't talk trash about anyone.
What do you mean, like, you just don't edit yourself? No, I don't know how to. Literally. Can't
do it.
One of my New Year's...
might as well be live. That's what I think. It gives it a raw feel.
Yeah.
Right.
A raw, it's our live hard album. Cock.
What am I New Year's resolution?
What so am I New Year's resolution?
So you don't want to regret like that.
If we could edit, we would edit that. Yeah. Go ahead. New Year's resolution.
One of my New Year's resolutions was to communicate honestly and openly. So I don't need any editing.
Great. How are you liking this so far?
It's good.
Sounded a little cloistered.
Sounded a little lie in that.
Steal my resolve.
You just start crying and run out.
I'm torn between two impulses.
He's doing it because he loves Liar Liar. It's his favorite movie. Let's do a more like that guy so he doesn't disturb the kid that looked like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Was that Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Was it Jonathan Lipnicki?
It wasn't.
It was not JTT.
Jono, research!
Jono Zalay, guys, who is a scientist, is our researcher for the night. If you hear a fourth anonymous laugh.
He's an expert on child actors.
He coughed a little before. Maybe you heard that. Very professionally.
Very professionally. He didn't do anything rash like go, let me clear my throat. Which is how I usually
say it. That's take from True Grit.
Excuse me. You gotta see True Grit. It's really good. It's, I would call it Revenge and Ponies, if I could rename it.
I saw Black Swan.
How's that?
I liked it a lot. And there's a gratuitous lesbo scene with Natalie Portman and, spoiler alert, Mila Kunis.
Gratuitous.
Mila Kunis did spoil it for me. She's fine.
Which one's Mila Kunis?
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix had a sex change? Is that what that I'm still here thinking about? It's not about his dick.
It's just about his love for the pussy.
His penis in a jar, but it's still technically in his house.
Do you think they let you keep it? Probably not, right? John, you're almost a doctor of sorts.
No, he does sex changes on rats.
If you get a sex change, they let you keep your penis.
I can't imagine why not.
Thank you, Jonah. Jonah says he can't imagine why not.
the name of the kid is Justin Cooper, but he doesn't have a picture on IMDb, so he's probably not famous anymore.
Probably not hot. If it's anything like Match.com.
They let Ron Howard have a picture. He went wicked ugly.
He looks like Clint Howard now.
I should have said Clint Howard. Was Clint Howard a child actor?
I don't think he was.
Yeah. I think Clint Howard was born looking like that.
He kind of, well, here's the thing. Clint Howard, it's an acceptable look for a baby and an older man, but nowhere in between. You can't look like Clint Howard if you're 12.
He'll look the same way when he's 80. Yeah. Ugly as shit.
I really feel like I'm going to grow that look.
You can't edit it.
No.
What's your resolution for 2011, Bulger?
I did have one.
Aren't you on a sobriety bender?
I was going to try to dunk a basketball.
Uh-huh. Oh, hold on. There is a place in Hyde Park that is just a building that is full of trampolines that you can pay $16 to go into, and they have a basketball
yes!
that you can dunk on.
Really?
We're going.
Yeah. I'm making my girlfriend go with me on my birthday.
Wait, that's actually going to be really funny looking to just, like, rise up awkwardly from a trampoline bounce. And
I want a picture of
you. Remember that TV show that was that? Bom. It was on, like, Spike or...
Yeah, yeah, and it was, like, a basketball league, but it was all trampolines.
It was a trampoline basketball league. And it was really fun to watch for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it was just a bunch of dudes on a trampoline.
Yeah. I think it was called the Torn ACL League.
Yeah, if you land on a trampoline from a high distance, you can hurt your leg. Right?
Oh, yes. It's not good.
Your teeth and your face. Tear your face up.
What were you saying? Your New Year's resolution was...
Oh, yeah.
I was going to try to dunk a basketball.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, sounds like you're going to actualize that in Hyde Park.
Huh? Yeah. Well, now I didn't know I could cheat.
This New Year's resolution is going to end January 15th. That's my birthday, everybody.
I told my dad, because I've never really exercised, and I can almost touch rim. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I bet if I did a calf raise or two, mm-hmm. I'd be dunking.
It's a lot of core.
I don't like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
My core is...
gelatinous.
Very poor core.
Soft core.
Soft core. That's the kind of porno that's about my abs. I haven't resolved yet.
Mm.
Resoluted.
Do you make a New Year's resolution? Is that a thing you do?
Sometimes I do.
Yeah. What have some past ones been? And did you honor them?
I usually do. Last year was just to, like, treat my body better in one way. So I joined a gym and I was pretty. Like, I went a lot of times.
Do you work at a gym?
I do work at a gym.
What gym?
I go to the Planet of Fitness.
I go to the Planet of Fitness.
Nice.
Look we at should this. Do a canoe exercise at the fitness.
We should do a podcast while we work
row
out.
There.
They don't have rowing machines. It's very low rent. It's a
rowing machine.
But I do. I mostly do.
That's funny.
Like a little. I do a little.
He just comes in and does the rowing machine every day.
And he talks to himself.
Is that a canoe pun? Is that why you're making a rowing machine joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut
up, John.
I just do, like, a little cardiovascular, you know, just to keep my heart healthy.
What do you do, the elliptical?
I do the elliptical.
I wrote a rap once about
the elliptical, I always feel like a douche on.
I do, too, but I do. I hate a treadmill.
Yeah, I hurt my knee on a treadmill. I couldn't walk right for, like, 2 weeks. Mm.
I hate treadmills. I wrote a rap once about how elliptical machines are, like, the only machine that you can't figure out what their analog is in real life.
I remember that.
Are you going to run this by me?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
That's tough, because a lot of comedians will run jokes by people who do an entire, like, 3-minute rap. I gotta sit here.
What do you think of this rap?
That's pretty good, I guess.
I like that first rhyme.
That'd be tough for, like, Bill Cosby to run a bit by somebody.
Yeah.
Mom.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't survive.
I remember the elliptical machine rap. Gary Gulman once on stage, I don't know if he riffed it or if it was something he wrote and just slipped in, about, he's like, the elliptical, we're kidding ourselves if we think we're getting exercise with it. Oh, yeah. For 45 minutes, you don't break a sweat.
Yeah. I've heard him do that a couple times, I think. That's funny. A bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it comes in and out with the disc man bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a pizza.
That's my favorite. Thought he was listening to a pizza.
Good job, Gary.
Pizza? Yeah, way to go, Gary.
Gary Gulman, if you're listening to this, which you might be.
Everybody's listening.
Everybody. Todd Barry. Frequent listener, we imagine.
I'm listening.
John Ozzolay is listening.
Popping up.
Listening and participating.
Ron White loves it. Condoleezza Rice, big fan.
Didn't they do a podcast together?
Condoleezza Rice and Rob White. Yeah, white rice.
I was thinking for Southern. I'm like, oh, they're not going to miss it. Not yet. Fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, Zach really bumped that, and I spiked it. That's volleyball slang.
I cheered.
My joke was actually about Ron and Condoleezza. Yours was much better.
Rondoleezza. Mr. Rondoleezza, Mr. Bob.
Thank you. Okay, what is going on in the song, Mr. Dabalina?
I don't know who that guy is.
What character?
That's Brian Daubach.
Guys, go three episodes back, listen to Sean Sullivan. He'll tell a story about Brian Daubach most of the way through before we start singing.
Or watch the Chicago White Sox in 2005.
Is that who you played for then?
I think so. Something like that. The Dauber.
The Dauber.
Hit the shit out of a fastball. Mm. Not much else.
No. But Mr. Dabalina, Del Funky Homo Sapien.
It's like a guy, I think he doesn't like him.
I thought he did like him.
What is this song?
There's a song by Del the Funky Homo Sapien, who is a crazy looking guy. I'd never seen a picture of him. Have you ever seen him? I know you haven't.
He looks like a funky Homo Sapien.
Yes.
Ice Cube's cousin, that's true.
Is he?
Yep.
And the chorus is a sample of a guy going, Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina. And that happens four times, and then some women go, Mr. Bob Dabalina.
But the song is called Mr. Dabalina, like one word, M-I-S-T-A-D-O-B-L-I-N-A.
He says, this is why he doesn't like him. In the lyrics, he goes, you really need to quit with your fraudulent behavior. So he's fraudulent. Mm-hmm. Whatever, Mr. Dabalina. Whatever else Mr. Dabalina is, he's respected enough for Del to address him by the honorific Mr. But acting fraudulently.
Maybe that's his
father. Maybe he was mad about his pro-choice stance.
He and Ice Cube are cousins by marriage. That's why they have different last names, Cube and Homo Sapien.
That was more incestuous than I thought it was.
I don't think it's incestuous if you're cousins and you don't have sex with each other.
Nope, it is. We just assumed. He was fucking Ice Cube for lyrics. Whenever I hear about two famous cousins, I always assume they're having sex with each other.
Nicolas Cage and Sofia Coppola.
Because they get a lot of money and a lot of free time. Idle hands. Once you have idle hands, you finger your cousin.
Your fingers are free to.
Your fingers are free to finger your cousin. That was the behavior. That's a behavior problem.
The fraudulent behavior.
Fingering me.
Mr. Dabalina is his nickname for Ice Cube.
Did at any point he call him a puppet master? This dude looked like a puppet.
Mr. Dabalina is Ice Cube. We've cracked the code.
And fraudulent behavior
is fingering him.
Because they say idle hands are the devil's workshop, but what they mean is idle hands in your cousin's butt or vagina.
That's idle what hands the workshop are is. The Ice Cube's butthole filler.
That's, you get a diss track of Bruin. Get on that. When are you going to come up with your anti-Ice Cube diss track?
When I go back to LA, I'm headed straight to Ice Cube's house.
You should write diss tracks against a lot of famous rappers and just put out an album of diss tracks. And people come
and
out
you should assume them incest.
And they're all incest diss tracks. Take every rappers that are related.
RZA, stop fucking the GZA. Ice Cube, stop fucking Del the Funky Homo Sapien.
They're all secretly fucking each other.
Master P, stop fucking Lil Bow Wow.
Oh, is he
really? No, you're right. Lil Romeo is
his son.
Is his son. And Snoop Dogg and Bow Wow are related. Mnemonically helpful that Bow Wow has a canine name.
Yeah.
Did Daryl Strawberry and Doc Goodenrath?
Are they cousins?
Yeah, stereotypically speaking.
You know I didn't know.
Jesus.
They're not cousins, but they're brothers.
I think we can still drop like $600 and get Daryl Strawberry to play softball with.
I'm glad to know that rap is a secret code of people analyzing their butt fingering relationships. I didn't understand that about the genre before we had this podcast conversation. But I'm going to start looking for that.
That's what they mean, like, when they're like, remember in the 80s, when they're like, honky was like the worst thing they would say? Like the 70s? That was an inside joke, because they're like, we're calling them honkies, but really we're the ones fucking each other.
I don't know.
In the 70s in black quotation, you don't see a little wink.
Listeners, future listeners, I don't understand this.
That's what happens when Dan talks. People are confused. Mostly him.
It's freestyle.
Oh. Listen, Zach, you get a yes and when Dan says nonsense.
That's the improv game is yes and, but I'm the only one who talks.
Yes, and they were honkies.
It's my own word association.
Yeah. Oh, just have a bottle of gin. I call it my yes and juice.
Yes and juice.
Laid back. With my mind on my cousin.
And my finger in Batman's butthole.
With my mind on my money and my fingers, that was fun. Let's rewrite all great rap songs to account for this discovery.
Well, podcast listeners, you might want to tune out for the next forever. Oh, man. Great.
Oh.
We're really cooking now, guys.
By the way, Clint Howard was the kid in Gentle Ben.
Clint Howard was the kid in Gentle Ben. Thank you, Jono.
So what's Gentle Ben?
It was a bear.
Yeah, bear show.
Ooh. Oh,
Andrew Mayer likes that show.
He does like bears. Doing human things.
Do you guys know who Clever Hans was?
Yes. No.
John, I know who Clever Franz was.
I know Idle Bam. Hans. Idle Hans is the devil's workshop. Boom. Pun.
Zow.
Kapun.
Yep. There's not going to be anywhere near a good storyteller for a little while. Just throwing wrenches.
I just want you guys to know, listeners, we're not actually jerking each other off.
Also, podcast listeners, we'll post a link to some Clever Hans video on the website.
What is Clever Hans?
So what's Clever Hans?
Do you guys post links to things on the website? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I was kind of making that up. Okay. He was a horse who could predict the future. No, he could count.
Oh, yeah,
he could count.
Oh, great.
His owner would say, Clever Hans, five. And he would stomp the ground five times with his foot.
So is this the original one-trick pony?
It was actually...
He could also say,
you know how, like, yesterday was originally about, like, scrambled eggs?
Yeah, yeah.
Goodwill Hunting was about Clever Hans. And they're like, you know what? Instead of a horse, let's have Matt Damon.
Who's Matt Damon? Oh, you'll find out.
You'll find out.
Wait, what's that?
Like,
yeah, no, it's not. It's Cool Keith.
Oh. Okay.
Where he's like, what? There's a horse in the hospital. And Dr. Octagon.
Because he got so good at math, he became a doctor.
Americans have fallen behind horses in math and science. We're 26 behind Brazil and horses.
Do you realize there were so many protests when they tried to desegregate the medical schools and allow horses in?
Horses, after realizing they're no longer good transportation devices, quickly evolved into calculators.
Incidentally, horses, what Cool Keith calls MF Doom's finger, and the hospital is his butthole.
Are they cousins?
No. It's gotten bigger than that. It started with just cousins, and then it just is a free-for-all.
We've blown this conspiracy wide open. A lot of butt-fingering on this podcast.
Tons.
Unprecedented event. One time, we had a guest on.
Sponsored by Butterfinger.
Oh, God.
That was my B-O-R-A-D moment.
What's B-O-R-A-D?
Ever seen the Norm MacDonald Carrot Top thing?
No.
Okay, you're going to have to see that later.
Okay.
Go on YouTube and look up Norm MacDonald.
Good plug.
Yes, you can see any plugs, you can see Norm MacDonald on YouTube.
We had Dan Crone on once, and we're like, hey, do you have any... this is like back when we thought that this was a thing. And
how many listeners do you get per episode?
We don't know.
You can't... there's no way to tell?
No, iTunes doesn't track it.
Carry on.
Dan Crone. We were like, you have anything to plug? And Dan was like, I'm doing this thing. And I was like, I'm going to this festival. And Crone's like, summer's coming. Like, he plugged summer and he's like, it's all I got.
It's all I got. What can I say? It's all I got. Yeah, summer.
Pretty good, Crone.
Thanks.
Really good shame.
Thanks.
Do some more impressions.
Do you mean more Shane or more impressions of other people?
Do you do more impressions of other people we know?
I can do about one sentence of Mike Kaplan, but who can't?
That's funny.
I don't know, probably not.
Yay, babies!
I wonder if Mike listens to this.
Let's hope not.
Sean Sullivan found out there is a story. We've told it on the podcast before, but it's funny, and Sean's going to be mad when he hears us tell it again. Mark Maron, Sean opened for Mark Maron at
Green Sky. Yeah. I had a conversation with Mark Maron about that, and he was like, yeah, they send me a bunch of tapes at different people who could open for me. I saw this kid Sullivan, and I was like, oh yeah, Sean Sullivan, he's great. And he was like, yeah. He's like, he said something like, he seems sufficiently angry to open for me or something like that.
They should have gotten
Sean. I wish I could remember what he said. It was
Sean
great.
Sean Donovan, he's more than sufficiently angry.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, Marion is running a little late. He shows up, Sullivan shakes his hand, he goes, hey, nice to meet you, I'm a big fan, glad to be working with you. They've met, they've seen each other visually. Sullivan gets on stage, and Marin's in the back of the room, and he just goes, ah, look at the size of him! Just, like, so mean. Just, like, so mean for no reason.
And then, when Sullivan came on, he has to stop calling him fat on his podcast.
And we were like,
so we will.
And I was like, did you hear both times we called you fat on this podcast?
From now on.
That's our New Year's resolution. Point forward. That's the New Year's resolution. Stop calling Sean Sullivan
fat on our podcast. Marin did that.
It was so mean, and he only said it to me.
But loud enough for everybody.
Yeah, really loud. He only talked to
me. How was that show?
It was great.
Great.
He did a bunch of stuff like that he was just working out, like that he had written that week that he did on Ferguson like 2 months later.
I guess he's making a new comedy CD.
He just recorded it in Brooklyn.
Did,
you guys got more of an ear to the streets.
You just have to listen to his podcast. He talks about it on there.
Nope, only listen to mine.
Did you... While doing it, did he remember that we like all went out to breakfast together in Aspen?
He like clearly recognized me, but if I'd been like, hey, what's my name? He would have been like, ah, why are you doing that? You know what I mean? Like,
did he call you buddy?
Yeah, he gave me all the indicators that he didn't know.
So you were like the kid that went to the same high school like first week in college.
Yep.
Like he would have found some other kids pretty soon.
Yeah.
Maron always finds kids to hang out with.
He didn't really care for me. That much is clear. He said, I wonder if I've told this story. We were walking, we were at the Rooftop Comedy Festival in Aspen, and it was pouring. And we were going to a live recording of his podcast, which I don't want to say the name of because we don't plug other podcasts on this podcast. But I was walking
over. Mark Maron Radio Hour.
The Mark Maron Flower Hour. And we were walking there, and he had an umbrella, and I didn't, so I was walking under an umbrella with him, so we were very close proximity. And he goes, have you been going to any of the workshops, any of the seminars? I was like, yeah, I just went to this one. It was called, like how to bring your idea to television, like how to have an idea for a show and, like, what the steps are until that gets on TV. And he goes, that sounds interesting. Do they tell you, give up, it'll never happen? I was like, oh, they left that part out. But he's been nothing but nice to me, even though he doesn't know who I am.
Actually, right after you shook his hand at the gas that one night, like, cause he clearly knew you. And,
yeah.
Like, came over to you and I was staying right next to you.
Yeah.
He shook his hand and then I extended my hand. And he was like, do I know you? Like, no. No names exchanged after that.
Oh, John, tell him what you saw at my place about the toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. I've been staying at Dan's place, and just by diffusion, I've made his place cleaner. And
it is good. Every time he crashes at my place, the place gets clean.
So I was like, you know, probably lifting up a piece of trash on it off his table or something like that. And underneath was a toothbrush with toothpaste on it that he clearly planned to use and just didn't. So it's like he had excellent intentions and then just got distracted by something. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume something very interesting. Very worthwhile. Maybe some floss.
That's what it was. He's like, I'm going to flip the script and floss first tonight. And he gets so into it, he exhausted himself.
Overflossed, I said.
Went to sleep.
Of the population who flosses, present in the room right now, raise your hand. Or no, say your name if you floss.
Jono.
Zach. Okay, Jono, do you...
Coffee.
Do you brush first or floss first?
Brush first.
I floss first.
When I floss...
Does it matter?
When I floss, I brush first.
You brush first.
I do. Why does it matter to floss first?
I like it because I'm like, I got all the big guys out, now let's do the detail work.
Okay.
No, you gotta get the little guys out. Like, watch an action movie. Bruce Lee always fights some douche first. That was just never had a chance. Mm-hmm. And then he took on the big guy, and you're like, nah, he's never gonna beat that guy, but he wasn't worn out.
This has nothing to do with floss.
Okay.
Well, I don't know anything about flossing. It's
Bulger clearly doesn't know what flossing is.
it's mouth karate.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's easier to get the big guys out and more difficult to get the little guys in the mouth dojo.
Oh, so it's almost like reverse.
So you don't indulge this. So you have to...
And small people are better at karate. No, because they don't need it. They need it more.
Yeah, Bruce Lee could kick Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the face.
According to Kareem, anyway, and he's the only one who's still alive, Bruce Lee had trouble with him. Because out of reach, skyhook him. skyhook him to death.
Like he was the 87 Celtics.
Killer move, man.
Indefensible move, like the crane kick.
Yeah. No can defense skyhook.
All right, well, I'm glad we had that. I'm glad we got that out there. Audience, vote on the web poll. It'll be up on the site.
There will not be a web poll.
I don't know how many people are going to get my anti-flossing stance. I'm tired.
But I like the logic. I like the logic.
I'm pro-choice, except for the choice to floss. In which case, I'm pro-get a life, stop flossing.
I waived that right.
I respectfully decline.
Every night I will get. Thank you.
Josh, let's talk about rap lyrics we think are really funny.
Okay. You start. I want to see what kind of funny you mean, and then I will contribute.
All right. Well, because we were talking about it earlier tonight, and because you talk about it on stage, let's throw out the DMX line.
I've got blood on my hands. I've got no remorse. I've got blood on my dick because I fucked a corpse. But then, in a different song, he just says, I'm not a nice person. Which, like, DMX, show, don't tell, right? That's the first rule of being a gangster. That's what I think is funny. I also just,
I think that's how he's put it. That's also what it says on his Match.com profile.
50 Cent says, I'm into having sex, I'm not into making love. My favorite, I love just, like, super arrogant lyrics, too. Like, one of my favorites is Ludacris from the song Stand Up. It's the first lyric, and he goes, how you ain't gonna fuck? Girl, I'm me.
Ludacris is like a stand-up comedian.
He's so funny.
He writes really short little jokes.
He doesn't like when people are in the way and it's traffic.
Yep.
Ludacris is like a hack 80s comedian. Like, fucking traffic, he says.
And I'm like, move, bitch, get out the way.
Get out the way, bitch.
Woo! He's wearing a tie and a blazer.
That should be a video. We should find the 80s-est looking comedian we can. You just have him go on and do the lyrics to Boof Get Out of the Way, but in like a angry, fake anger stand-up.
That'd be great.
This fucking bitch is in front of me.
And I'm like, move, bitch.
I'm gonna put your lights out.
I'm gonna punch your fucking lights out. See, to be a successful rapper, you have to say raps that are fun for people to say. It's fun to go, I got blood on my dick. Because I fucked a corpse.
It is fun to say that.
It's just satisfying to do it.
It's not satisfying to do it. It's satisfying to say it.
No, to do it. It's fun to say, fun to do.
That person apparently died from anal leakage.
Right.
He wasn't a corpse when DMX started.
It was Ice Cube's cousin.
He wasn't a corpse until DMX was through with it.
Oh, I get it.
I got blood on my dick because I...
Oh, wait, so wait, let's back apply it. He has blood on his hands and no remorse. So he did just kill... Is the corpse he's fucking the one he killed? Or did he bloody someone else, perhaps killing them, perhaps not? Where's the blood on his hands from? Did he fuck a corpse not to completion and then masturbate with his bloody dick and that's why he's got blood on his hands? Is that what he's saying?
This is the second grossest episode of the Two Man Canoe. Grossest being the time Lamont really graphically described a girl he had sex with for real.
Really, after a very pleasant conversation before.
And we were like, we were just sort of telling, like, lighthearted, like, oh, I hooked up with this girl, it was funny. We were just telling, like, road stories.
Do you think if more than 20 minutes goes by, Lamont thinks, haven't talked about pussy in a while. Better talk about pussy now.
But it was great. And then, like, we were, like, laughing. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I don't know if, like, Barry White started playing in the background. We were like, oh, this is about to get real. Lamont told, like, a real serious hookup story. Not, like, real serious. Not, like, and then we got an abortion, like, brick. Right.
It was lighthearted.
Also, why did they go to get that abortion at 6 a.m. the day after Christmas? They couldn't have waited?
I once had to go buy Plan B at, like, 11 a.m. on January 1st. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. I walked into the pharmacy with the girl, and I was, like, looking pretty disheveled, and she was wearing, like, the out-at New Year's clothes she was wearing the night before.
That's the ultimate walk of shame when you go straight to the Plan B.
Yeah. We walked up to the CVS counter, and I was like, yes, we'll take one Plan B. The guy was very, very sympathetic. My favorite rap lyric. Oh, Jonna's favorite rap lyric.
It's Gangstar.
Oh.
So, chumps pull guns when they feel afraid too late. Oh, I know. Yes, I love this one. When they dip in the kick, they get sprayed. Lemonade was a popular drink, and it still is. I get more props than stunts than Bruce Willis. Lemonade is a popular drink, and it still is. Really desperate to rhyme something with Willis?
Wait a minute. Let's talk about this lyric. Lemonade was a popular drink, and it still is. Say the line before it, Josh.
It's because of, yeah.
When they dip in the kick, they get sprayed.
Lemonade.
Okay, so sprayed links to lemonade. Yeah. But only sonically, right. Not conceptually at all.
You never spray lemonade on someone.
Yeah, it's not like you're like, what's the thing that is default sprayed? Oh, lemonade!
Like when you're in an 8-year-old's birthday in a strip club.
But I think he was so impressed. I think he was so impressed that he thought of, I get more props and stunts than Bruce Willis, that he was like, any rhyme will do. Let's just get to that Bruce Willis line ASAP.
And he assumed Bruce Willis would always be getting props. He had only seen the whole 10 yards.
Bruce Willis, I guess he uses props in his movies.
Who doesn't? Oh, I mean props like, hey, proper respects.
That's Guru's clever pun.
That's his pun. You know, how Bruce Willis always has props in his movies, but
and he does stunts. And stunts is a disrespectful term for women in hip-hop. You know that.
What's this?
Do you know that? Stunts are, like, women.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought they were, like, something Bruce Willis would do.
Something Bruce Willis did with his props.
I thought you were saying, like, hey, Bruce Willis. Like, remember when you walked across that glass? Props on that.
Props on that stunt.
Props on that stunt.
Bruce Willis, would you like some lemonade? It's readily available because it is still as popular.
Would you like some in the past or in the present?
I don't mean to conjecture or speak hypothetically, but perhaps lemonade will be available in the future as well.
If we learn anything from the past, we know that lemonade ain't going nowhere.
The crazy thing is,
lemonade ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now, because it's lemonade for life.
When Guru wrote that lyric, it was like 15 years before he published it, and he was like, boy, I hope in the future lemonade is still popular, so this lyric's... This barely makes sense, what I'm saying right now.
He's like the 50 Cent of lemonade. It's like lemon, 50 Cent owns half of vitamin water.
Right, right.
That's so crazy that that's true.
Yeah, I guess the guy just came up to him. He's like, you want to be... He got offered him like 10 grand or something, like 10 grand to invest in vitamin water, and now he's a water mogul.
If 50 Cent...
He's like a...
Listen, he works up a powerful like a sweat having sex. He never makes love, which is much gentler and burns less calories.
It's amazing you find time for so much water when you have time airbrushing your body for album covers.
If 50 Cent owns half of Vitamin Water, then why don't Vitamin Waters cost a dollar?
Boom! Jonna loved it.
I don't get it.
You're like the Ed McMahon of change puns.
I don't know that that was a pun.
Well, let
I
me
guess
think,
it's
about
was.
Time he be mentioned. Kid Rock has a lyric.
We already mentioned Kid Rock. No, that was before the podcast.
Oh, very good.
We were looking at my poster, and you're like, where's Kid Rock on this?
Lamont is the pussy as I am to Kid Rock.
About time to bring up Kid Rock.
Dan lies about how much Kid Rock he gets.
Makes everyone uncomfortable with graphic details of what times he touched Kid Rock.
Is he your cousin? Huh?
Yeah. Bawit Daba. Bawit Daba is what he calls his... What's the joke from before?
Bawit Daba is Kid Rock's pet name for Mr. Dabalina. Right.
Same guy. He did have something on stage. You used to call me Bunny when my nose was fucking runny, but now I'm fucking bunnies making fucking Matchbox 20 money. Is that it?
Oh.
I don't think anybody else knows it, but...
Matchbox 20 money? I like that.
Hmm. I don't think... Matchbox 20 doesn't make a lot of money anymore.
They did, though. And neither does Kid Rock. I bet they're proportional.
I think Kid Rock's probably still bigger than... Because Kid Rock really... capitalized in the redneck market.
That's true.
He's like, there are a bunch of angry white people out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Matchbox 20 was really, really famous.
Huge.
And then dude had that little solo.
Rob Thomas?
Yes.
He had that great song with Santana. So that was pretty nice.
You got the kind of loving.
That's the one.
Then, we'll link to that on the site.
That Santana album, though, I'm surprised nobody's just done that again. I think Slash tried to do that.
Just like get a bunch of people to sing.
Just get a bunch of folks in there. Ozzy's on it.
Ozzy's not on that Santana album.
Oh, yeah, he is. The bonus track.
They get Ozzy, they get DMX.
Everlast. They would do a good song together, Ozzy and DMX.
Yeah.
Remember Iron Man? The Busta Rhymes version?
Scary guy with guy that used to be scary.
it's on my other blog. I wrote a bunch of... So my girlfriend applied to be Ja Rule's personal assistant. I don't know if you know about that.
Sure.
Did you know about that for real?
I knew about it from you, and then I heard about it from her.
Okay.
I'm getting a bunch of phone calls in 1999.
So, anyway, he's in jail now.
Ja Rule?
So he doesn't need a personal assistant.
What's he in jail for?
Guns.
Oh, Ja.
Yep.
Then wasn't he the guy that had 50 Cent shot?
I don't know.
I thought the time 50 Cent got shot 9 times, it was secretly Ja Rule. It was purple.
Well, they had beef. Murda, Inc., and, G-Unit Aftermath, Shady, they had beef.
Really?
I don't know if it was about that shooting or not, though. Not sure on that one.
Interesting.
What's your problem?
That's what Ja Rule's when he's...
That sounded very Cajun.
Huh? So he's kind of Cajun, isn't he?
Ja Rule?
No.
No? Who am I thinking of?
Baby Marley. Girl, put it on me!
The crocodile from Ninja Turtles?
That's what I just did.
Do yours again.
Cajun.
Huh?
Do yours again.
Baby girl, put it on me.
Isn't he doing it a little Cajun?
Yeah.
You're like the crocodile from Ninja Turtles.
That's another outtake from True Grit. You sing that song.
I'm real.
And
then, like, he also does the J-Lo part.
Yeah.
I would like to see that.
So, anyway.
Can't go on Lake Pontchartrain. Go on.
So Ja Rule's in jail. So I wrote a bunch of personal ads or help wanted ads from other rappers. Like, let me read one. I have one that I really like.
Meantime, did you hear that Schoolhouse Rock track Ja Rule did?
No.
What?
Slide Rule, it was called.
Love it.
What's a slide rule?
That's just a joke you made up, right?
It's a little math tool.
Yeah.
Oh, you were lying?
Oh, I thought it was for real. Okay, here's the thing.
I thought it was real, too. I was excited.
So this is, like, one of them. It was, like, this is the headline. PR Skibbity Skittles needed Bibbity Badly. What's up, party people of the place to be? It's the Sugar Hill Gang here, kicking flavor the most from coast to coast. Remember us, the Sugar Hill Gang? The hip-hoppinest, bip-boppinest, ribbity-rap, pit-pat, skit-scat sayers that ever touched a microphone? Everybody in the house.
Why haven't I read this?
Everybody in the house say yeah. No? Okay, we're gonna level with you here. Since the early 80s, we've fallen on some hard times. With the rise of crack and then wars and now a recession, people don't want to hear three guys rapping about how sometimes macaroni doesn't taste good. We need someone to get our name out. So we get back to rock in the hits. Barring that, we're willing to clean houses or do some light filing. We'll suck your dick, seriously. $25. Oh god, now we've done it. We promised not to cry, but now we're sibbity bib bop sobbing all over our computer. So, if that sounds good, put your hands in the air and shoot us an email at skibbityboombap@AOL.com. There's a few of them. That's my favorite one.
It's great. Who are the other artists? Yeah, let's do one more, and I'll tell you which artist I want.
Okay. DMX and Fat Joe.
DMX is his must love dog.
Yeah, with a Z. It's just for a dog walker for DMX. It's pretty self explanatory.
DMX, Fat Joe.
Fat Joe is a funnier one. It's like, it's called I Don't Want to Be a Heart Attack Risk No More. I'm on me. It's Joey Crack the Don. I got a problem, you heard? Every time I lean back in a chair, the legs shatter to bits like they was toothpicks or the faces of people I shot. So what I need is a sexy girl or two for, like, some personal training action. Because when I say, what's love, it sure ain't collapsing in the middle of doggy-style sex because there is an entire McRib stuck in my left ventricle. Shit ain't sexy, especially when you pass out from a massive coronary and your bitch arm get trapped underneath you and you have to chew it off like James Franco and shit. And yeah, I know that the title of this post is from a Big Punisher lyric. I've been on a 3-day custard bender and I don't even know my own songs right now. Hit me up at fatjoe@bigpunscoattails.com. Oh! Take that, Fat Joe.
Although, I think Fat Joe surpassed Pun, I mean, in terms of
longevity,
in terms of chart position.
Agreed. But
I don't know if Pun would have done it. I mean, I don't know. Like,
Pun died, right?
Pun. Yeah. Like, but he'll always be...
After he is. That's a good comparison. Dave Grohl and Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I feel like exactly the same. Like, people always remember Big Pun as a legend, as with Kurt Cobain, even though Dave Grohl was super successful for a long time, as was Fat Joe.
Yeah. What are Fat Joe's biggest things? Lean Back, obviously.
Lean Back was huge. And then, What's Love?
What's Love?
With, was that Ashanti?
Here's the grossest line in that song. The delicate sounding Ashanti sings, from the look in your eyes, there's no stopping me. I want the Don Joey crack on top of me. No, you don't. You want to be on top of him. If you got any brains at all.
If you've got any brains in your head other than the ones you're giving with your mouth. Stay in front of that. You don't want him getting up ahead of steam. Crushing you to death. Do you want to hear the DMX one, too? They're all pretty good.
Sure.
This is Must Love Dogs. By DMX. Dogs is with a Z. Arf, arf. Are you a friendly and caring individual with a passion for animals? No homo. Then you might be just the person I'm looking for to tend to my cadre of pit bulls, Rottweilers, and Dobermans. Doberman, I never know. The job is pretty simple. Feed the dogs, take them for walks, but most importantly, love them as if they were your own dogs, dog. I need someone who won't get run down by the stress of caring for my animals all day while I'm busy lifting weights, consulting with attorneys, and sending Ja Rule taunting letters in prison. When I come home at night and ask, where my dog's at, I want to hear an enthusiastic, they're right here, dog. Please contact Earl Simmons at whatsmyname@dmx.com.
Wow.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks. From my blog, Guy Raps, Girl Sings the Hook, that I write very
So it's a rap blog.
Mm-hmm.
With Gabby.
Yeah,
are we allowed to say her name?
Yeah, that's fine. We're out in the open. People understand.
Oh, man.
Oh, she posted all her conversations with Ja Rule's personal, like, Ja Rule's, like, liaison on here.
Liaison?
Her letters were insane. They're great. Anyway, it's great. I co-wrote one of them with her. They're super ridiculous. She signed it, what would I be without my baby? That was like the salutation. My favorite part was, aside from writing, I have many ideas for the expansion of Mr. Rule's empire. Murder, Inc., such as, but not limited to, Arson, Inc., Embezzlement, Inc., and Murder, LLC. I also believe Eminem was way out of line for saying Mr. Rule sounds like Cookie Monster, and if it's not too much for me to say so, it was probably racist of him as well. And they read this email.
When did he call him Cookie Monster?
It's like 5 years ago.
So he's like Dikembe Mutombo, if he read.
Dikembe Mutombo is amazing. Who will sex Mutombo?
You know that story?
He would just go into bars. Where is he called? Georgetown?
Georgetown.
He would just go to bars like around Georgetown and just like kick in the door and be like, who will sex Mutombo?
I'm going to try it.
You're going to walk into a bar and scream, who will sex Mutombo?
Yeah. I want to be his wingman.
And then he comes in behind.
Murder, Holla Holla was a pretty good song.
I like that very much.
Yeah.
And then,
Jeff Bridges. I'm a true grit that's ready to get murder.
Yeah, those, that song was pretty good.
Murder.
It was kind of thug.
That would be my rap. The murder police are here. Talking about her in the past tense. There's been an incident. That's John Mulaney.
Josh Gondel Mulaney.
Josh Gondel Mulaney.
Josh Gondelaney.
Mr. Josh Gondelaney. Well, guys, I think we've done it.
The canoe has set sail.
The canoe has set sail for waters uncharted inside Ice Cube's butt.
Can you plug your album?
Oh, yeah. Plug your album, Zach.
Sure. Everybody, we'll post it on the website, but make sure to pick up my new album, MC Mr. Napkins, the album.
Zach raps. I don't know if we've made that clear.
He's a rap and roll guy.
I rap.
Dan, do you have anything to plug?
When will we post this?
I don't know. When do you need it up?
Not time particularly.
Yeah. You plug the
thing. I will be at Dick Doherty's Comedy Vault a week after we post this.
Or a week before.
Or a week before. That's a better plug.
To all our listeners in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I will be headlining the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga last week. So I hope you made it.
And can I do one last plug?
Yeah, of course.
Of no. Ghostface Killah's butthole with my pinky.
thank you, everybody. Good night. And I hope you enjoyed the canoe.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.